Welcome to the Grit.org podcast with Colby Harris and Brian Harbin. In these episodes, they speak to top achievers in athletics and business to understand the habits and mindset they apply in order to build more grit.
Welcome back to the Grit.org podcast. My name's Colby Harris. Alongside me is Brian Harbin. And we are here today with our guests, Michael Law and Maureen Sullivan, two members of the Grit Brokerage team. So as all of you know, Brian is the founder of Grit Brokerage, a domain brokerage company. He's been working with Michael and Maureen for a couple of years now. And today we're going to fill you guys in on all things domains. Again, we love bringing you these episodes to just share more about what Brian does, what the company at Grit Brokerage does. So we're going to start off with Maureen, a domain acquisition specialist at Grit Brokerage with decades of experience. Maureen, I'm going to kick it over to you to open up the episode today.
Thanks very much, Colby. Hi, everyone. And so I am the person that does domain acquisitions for Grit. I love what I do. And I wanted to share today two stories, one about a domain that ended up being acquired, one that did not. They're two different stories, but I figured I didn't, just enlighten everybody with a little bit of what my day is like every day and different scenarios that I have. And hopefully you'll learn something from it. So the first that I want to talk about is a one worder. It's a very unique domain, tough to spell. It means, has meaning in Greek. It was theoria.com. And I had a client come in and request the domain. And when we first started, I think to mention a big part of my job is talking to people about budget and pricing expectation and values. So originally they thought, because it was so unique, they were going to put in a $5,000 offer. And I said, no, that's not going to work. We should start at $10,000 and go up from there. Got them to agree. And I went over to the owner, sent a simple, straightforward email to them with the offer of $10,000. And honestly, I think within 20 minutes, I got a one-liner right back. Thanks, but no thanks, no interest, goodbye. So this happens. And I did go back to the client pretty quickly and said to him, doesn't look like this domain is for sale. The owner got back to me right away, does not want to sell this domain. I'm happy to look into another extension, another domain. Let's brainstorm. And they came back immediately, said, no, we want this domain. So I said to them, okay, then you're going to have to come up with an offer. And so talked to them a lot about that, about where to be, how to go about it. So we doubled the price. We doubled the offer. Went back again, and the owner responded within a day and said, I would need a multitude of that offer number. So again, the owner clearly has no intention of selling this domain. Went back to the buyers, told them this, and figured we were at the end of the conversation and or I was going to help them find something else. Came back and said, get us a price. We're not walking away. We want a price. Get it. We'll go from there. So I go back to the buyer, the owner, and I said to them, look, could you please, I understand where you're coming from. You don't want to sell it, but I do a job here to help other people. Please come back to me with a price and we'll go from there. So this started in August, and this was probably mid-August when I was at this point. And he went totally silent. Didn't come back at all for a good month. Now, I want to just pause here and talk a little about what do you do when you are trying to get an answer from an owner who's very resistant, very like, don't bother me type situation. It's a very delicate dance. Like, how do I keep him on the line? How do I keep him engaged without him writing me? Don't write to me again. I'm blocking your email or something to that effect. So I started writing him just short emails, but I made them a little edgy, a little humorous. I would say things like, look, it's me again. I know you don't want to hear from me, but I need to get a price. And guess what? If you get me the price, I'm probably going to go away for good, or we're going to keep negotiating. But I would make it professional, but kind of humorous, and hoping he was reading the emails, and I didn't hear back. So I think I went back to the buyer. We went back one more time with a 5K increase. And the owner came back finally with a one-liner that said, let me think about it. 2 weeks later, we never heard anything back. So now it's about October, the beginning of October. I went back to the buyers and I said, look, this just isn't happening. I'm really sorry. Not the answer I want to give you, but it is the answer. They don't want to sell the domain. So they thanked us for all the hard work I did over 2 months' time. They said, we want to pay you, send us an invoice, paid it, et cetera, moved on. So now let's just jump forward to the beginning of November, end of October. Brian gets this strange email from their finance team saying, hey, we paid you. I don't know what we paid you for. We're going to retract the payment. Brian's like, what's going on with this? And so we wrote to the buyer and the buyer was really embarrassed, said, I don't know what my finance team did, but absolutely we're paying you. I apologize for that. But for me, it brought up, why not try one more time with this owner? So I gave it some thought and I said, I've got to come up with something very creative for this guy to respond. So jump back sidebar, about a month before, I was on LinkedIn researching something else. And I came across a Kevin O'Leary quote, Kevin O'Leary from Shark Tank. It's also from Boston. And I saw this quote and I liked it. I mean, the guy's a very smart, brilliant businessman. And so there was a link, click to get more Kevin O'Leary quotes. So I went there and I was reading some and I came across one that I said, it was a perfect sales quote. I said, someday I'm going to use this quote. It's awesome. So now jump back to November. And I said, this is how I'm going to get this guy. So I wrote him an email and I said, see below, quote, that's all I'm looking for is a price. And the quote was, everyone folds for the right price. And I hit send and I held my breath. He got right back to me. He said, ha, good one. He said, I'll get back to you by Monday with an answer. And this was Friday. That's the first time he came back and said he was going to let me know a price. So I got him to the table. I got him to respond. And honestly, all along, I felt he was reading my emails, but it was a game. He wasn't going to give in. So I went and called the buyer. And I said, I know you weren't expecting this, but I heard back from the owner. I said, let's just regroup here. Are you still interested in the domain? We still at the same price point. Do I have any more negotiation? And so I turned around and he said, yeah, go get me an answer and maybe 5K more in price, but try not, you know, nothing more than that. So I got the green light, waited. Monday comes. He gives me a price. The price is way above what the buyers wanted to pay, but I had a price. I had an answer. And then I wrote back and said, thanks very much. Tell me the lowest, absolute lowest you'd take so that I can go back and try to get this done. He dropped it by 30K. That put me between a 15,000 differential between what the buyer wanted, what the owner wanted. I knew I could make that work. And so I went to the buyer, I wrote to them, gave them the update and said, give me a call. Let's talk about this. Now, the buyer had always been enormously responsive, always picked up the phone, always answered. He went silent on me, which I wasn't expecting. And then I said to myself, okay, he's got the info. He's going off and talking to his partners about it. Next day came silence. So finally, I wrote him at the end of the day and said, hey, do you have time for a quick call? And I got a one-liner back. We're no longer interested in this domain name. That was the last response I expected to hear. So I picked up the phone and I called him. I said, what's going on here? What just happened? And he said, I wasn't expecting this either, but I went back internally. The budget is completely gone. Even if we went and started back at 10 to 20K, it's gone. It's been reallocated. And when you think about it, I mean, this is the part of the story. I didn't think I'd be telling you this ending. I thought I'd tell you I negotiated and got it done. But it's another part of the story, which is you know, this was a 4-month time frame that a buyer wanted a domain and an owner didn't respond. And so you've got to keep that in the back of your mind sometimes with the negotiations, because people just move on and take the budget and go in another direction. But for me, the story was about how to engage and keep the owner engaged when they've just gone silent and tell you they don't want to sell the domain. And then I finally found a way to get an answer. And I just say to people, you know, dig in, find creative ways to engage with either party that you're trying to keep at the table. Research maybe where they're from, places they work, where they went to school, anything you can find about them that makes you come to the table and talk to them more. And in this case, it was just a long shot, but the quote worked. And I'll put the quote up on my LinkedIn page later. But that's the first story I have for you. And the second, if we have time here, is it's a different story. It's about a company that was a small startup that came to me. They owned a 4word.com. It was a geotarget at the beginning and then a travel-related domain at the end. So it's 4 words. They wanted a 2word.com. And what I wanted to bring up in this story was to talk about that we hear about how important, and of course they are, but how these amazing companies go off and buy the perfect super premium ultra 1-word domain. And it is the perfect match for what they do. And the same could be true of a 2-word. But sometimes people, I find, get really tunneled about, I have to have this 1-word domain. That's it. That has to be my, everyone's told me I need the 1-worder. Well, in actuality, you don't. It's not necessarily the right fit. And the same can be true even with a 2-worder. So in the case of this, it came to me for this 2-word, very generic, but very brandable domain. And I when I started talking to them, I never looked at their site because I remember that day I was just jumping from one call to the next. I looked at the domain they wanted, didn't look at their site, but assumed it's travel, etc. The first part of the conversation was they absolutely didn't have the budget needed. Their max budget was 5K. So a lot of the conversation was educating them on the value of a 2-word domain, and they didn't have the budget. But instead of walking away and saying, okay, I'll find you another domain or we're done here, I said, let me go to the owners. Let me just get the price for you so you'll understand even more why it's so valuable. I went to the owners. They said it wasn't for sale. I went back and said, well, can you give me a price range? Because I am doing this for a client. Please let me know a range. And they came back. They were kind enough to come back. They didn't have to. They said, we need at least 6 figures. So in that moment, I knew this deal was not going to happen at all. Went back to the buyer, and the buyer was representing his CEO. And I said to him, you cannot have this domain. And he said, but this is the only domain my CEO wants. How am I going to go tell him I can't have this domain? And you could just see how panicked he was and how fearing he was, that he's like, what else can I do? And I said, hang on, let me look into this. Now, as I said previously, I had not looked at their site. It was just an oversight on my part, but I went and looked at the site, and everything stopped for me. This company had nothing to do with the 2-word domain, nothing. It didn't even make sense to me. I'm like, why would they want this 2-word travel domain? So I'm on the phone. Meanwhile, I'm over here digging and searching around for various keywords that would match. I knew the industry they were in. I knew the last 2 words were important. I went and found this 3-word domain. 3-word domain, not a 1, not a 2, 3-word domain that was the perfect match for what they are. And this was the amazing part. I said to him, well, what about this domain? And he said, really? You can get me that domain? And what it made me realize, and what I bring up, what's so important with what I do and what Grit does every day, is we help people find the right domain for their company, not the one they think they need. So I went off and I said to him, the good news here, it's not for sale, but I think I can get it for sale. I think I can buy it for you. The owner, I think, would be open to selling it. Give me some time. And the best part, I said, I'll get it for you for under 5K. So go off, found the owner, negotiated, got it for under 5,000, went back.
ended up selling the domain. The CEO was ecstatic, couldn't believe we found this domain. Now, sadly, the domain is not live as a site yet, but I can't wait till it is, and I don't think you can wait either. It's called cannabistravelagency.com, and the tagline is, it's all about the journey. So those are my two stories. I hope that they've been insightful, and thanks for letting me share.
Yeah, we love that, Maureen. I always love your stories. I feel like you always come in with the gritty stories that took a lot of persistence and time. And that's one thing I've always respected about what you do. And I'm just wondering, is Mr. Wonderful a longtime favorite entrepreneur, Kevin O'Leary?
I really admired him over the years. And the man is just such an entrepreneur and such a man of wisdom. And, you know, all of his quotes, I mean, he's a sales guy. And so I admire that. But whenever I found this quote, everybody falls for a price. And it's a picture with him. You can just hear his voice saying that. And I don't know if you guys watch Shark Tank. I do. And I love the show, but I always love his wisdom and his guidance. And, you know, he's pretty straightforward kind of guy.
I agree.
And this particular owner of the domain was out of New York, and I just knew he'd be able to relate. So
finding that intimate details with the connections you can find.
Yes. Yep.
Well, thanks for sharing that, Maureen. I know, Brian, you have a couple things up your sleeve today that you want to jump into. So I'm going to go ahead and send things over to you, and looking forward to see what you have to share today.
Sounds great. And yeah, Maureen, it's, you know, your creativity and persistence. I know in an earlier episode, you talked about, you know, having to track down a domain owner through his VRBO, you know, listing. And so just the, just love how you get creative and you know, finding people and getting through to them. So today, I'm going to talk a little bit about domains, but, you know, this episode's going to drop January 1, 2024. And so really just wanted to kind of talk about, you know, planning and goal setting and really not specifics, but more about just mentalities when it comes to, you know, goal setting for the year. I mean, obviously you want to do kind of a year in review. What were some things that you did well? What are some things to improve on? Obviously you want to think about kind of specific things you want to see happen in 2024. But the first mentality, there's three mentalities. The first mentality is, I think so many people, when they think about goals and planning, they think about what, right? They think about what they want to do. One thing, and that's definitely important, but one of the things I want to challenge you to do is really look at who, right? Because, you know, I'm looking at the three of you guys right now, and all three of you were, you know, such a huge backbone and piece of everything that we did in 2023. And especially as the world, you know, is going crazy about AI and all the things that are being happening and how everything's going to be automated and everything else. But I think the companies that can really stay focused on who are going to be the people that are going to help get you there. And, you know, that personal connection, is just always going to be instrumental. It's always people that can help get you there, that drive through that emotion, that empathy, and that can really, be the game changer. So, really just want to challenge you as you're thinking about your goals for the year, just really, really think about, you know, who's going to be the people there, who are going to be the clients that you want to go after. Who's the avatar of the type of client you want to do? Who are the new people that you're going to work with and be a part of your team? So that's really the first thing, is really just be thinking about who. The second part is what I call having integrity with your goals. I even wrote it down here on this little whiteboard. So obviously we all know that integrity is about doing the right thing even when nobody's looking. But integrity with your goals, to me, is about doing the right thing related to your goals when nobody's looking, right? I always feel like the most important part of your day is the first hour when you get up and the hour before you go to bed, and really sets the tone, and really even just the first 10 minutes. And, you know, for me, I know one of the things I want to get back to that really sets the tone for me is getting up and taking a cold shower, right? It's the one thing that I don't want to do. Right. But once you do it, I mean, once you take a cold shower, you pretty much have, you know, t- taking care of the first 30 minutes of your day. You've officially woken up, and it really just kind of sets the tone for the day. But there's going to be certain things over the course of the year that kind of wear you down away from your goals, that kind of wear down that integrity. So I've got this here in the first part. So one of the things that can really wear down and prevent you from hitting your goals is becoming too focused on you, me, yourself. We get too caught up in our own emotions, right? Emotions are great to recognize, but a lot of times we let our emotions dictate what we do. So we become egocentric. We become too focused on what we want. So a lot of times when we become too focused on it starts to wear down the integrity of your goals and what you're trying to accomplish. The N represents making it too easy to say no, right? I think sometimes we give up too easily on what we want to do. We say no to things that we know we should do. Maybe we say no to opportunities. I think, really trying to form the habit of saying yes, opens a lot of doors, but I think too easily we let ourselves say no. And again, that just kind of wears down on the integrity of our goals. For the T, sometimes we don't put in the work that we have to do to develop talent. So T is for talent, and really just doing all the little things to get better at your craft. You know, whether it's having a good book, listening to good podcasts, going to conferences, reading up on your industry, staying ahead of trends, reading all the publications related to what you do, and really continuing to be an expert, because really in any field that you're in, it's always evolving. And so I think really being ahead of the trend and remaining an expert in what you do. So really, if we're not developing the talent, then again, that can kind of start to wear down from the integrity of our goals. The other part is we lose our why, right? So the why represents why we do what we do, right? So when you come up with goal setting, it's important to know what you want to do, who's going to help you get there, but also why is that important to you? And I think a lot of times over the course of the year, our why gets worn down, right? We get pulled away from why we're actually doing what we're doing. Why is it important to you to hit that goal? Why is it important to you to make that amount of money? Why is it important for you to get in shape? And it's almost always going to be something emotional and connected to people and the people that we love. So you really have to be dogmatic in protecting the integrity of your why. And the E represents effort, right? And I think we can all say that, there's definitely times over the course of the year where we can put in more effort than we currently are. And so it's important to have those checkpoints along the way. You know, I think accountability is really, really good for that in terms of having people around you that are pushing you. Again, continually reviewing your goals and knowing why, doing this specific activity is going to lead to something greater. I think a lot of times we get lazy with our goals because, a year-end goal is a big deal and it seems like a long way away, but it's all those little things and the little habits that sometimes that lack of effort can wear away at the integrity of our goals. And then, really what keeps it all together is the word that remains, right? So this is why we're called grit, right? Is because it's really about how are you going to respond when nobody's looking when it comes to your goals? How are you, why is it important to you to keep going? There's definitely a lot of times over the course of the year, you're going to get kicked down, but it's really going to be this word that helps you get there. And really, Grit Brokerage, and that's our focus. Like Maureen shared, I mean, it's, we're dogmatic in terms of going and helping our clients and helping them get what they need. So again, I just really encourage you as we get into this new year, really focus on, keeping the integrity of your goals and knowing at the core of it all is grit. So that's point number two. And then the last point is, related to domains is just planning ahead when it comes to your domain acquisition strategy, because I think, we had a client recently that, they called us up and they said, hey, we need this domain, but we need it. We're doing an announcement. Everything's going live in in a week. We've got to get this domain. And so they really put us under a lot of pressure to try and get it done because, you know, even if you get it at a price, you got to get it funded and domain transferred over and everything else. And obviously you don't want the press release to go out before you actually have the domain. And we see that a lot in our industry where people kind of wait till the last minute. Their domain strategy is, you know, hey, let's do everything else first and then go get the domain, where it's actually kind of backwards, right? I mean, you really, a lot of times, whether you can get the domain or not should affect even the name of your company, right? And the branding and everything else. So I think just having a domain strategy, and I think that's where, you know, we have a lot of clients that, you know, the first thing they do when they have an idea is they say, hey, this is a domain I want to look at, you know, what are my options? And so I think it's always great to have a domain broker in your back pocket that's going to be proactively looking for things, giving you advice on what's good, what's overpriced, what's available, what's not available. And so I think that's very important. And so that's it for me. One thing I did want to mention too, to kind of button up, I think the last episode we talked about having silva.com, and we actually did sell that domain a few weeks back. So that was a good sale. And even there's one, I don't know if Michael talked about it, but I know this was one that was probably, you know, 4 or 5 months in the making and actually just closed today. But it was one of those where the seller had, it was baldwin.com, and the seller had agreed to a price. And then a few months ago backed out on, I'll never forget, probably Michael, one of the toughest, conversations, I had of the year was we had to get on a Zoom call with these buyers and tell them, hey, look, the seller's backed out. It's not going to happen. And this was like 5 o'clock on a Friday afternoon, and just to see the blood drain out of their face and just having to go back and figure out it wasn't going to happen. But you know, again, just with patience and persistence and, we're able to get that over the finish line and get that done. So that's it for me.
Yeah. I think I love the integrity example today too, because what you all do in the domain industry requires a lot of it, right? There's a lot of conversations behind closed doors and from different places in the world across the ocean. It's something that it's not like everyone's watching you all the time. And, especially within the team. And then not only that, but working with all the clients, working with buyers and sellers all the time. So Brian, appreciate that for kicking off the new year. It's something I'll definitely take with me from today's conversation. Michael, it's good to see you again. We haven't talked in a while since last episode. So Michael, thank you for being here today. I'm going to go ahead and kick it over to you. I know you have some exciting things to share, some stories to potentially dive into. So go ahead and kick it off. I'll send it over to you.
Yeah. Hey, Grant. Good to see all you guys. And yeah, I really enjoyed your discussions already about just the intricacies about brokering and, you know, the need for integrity. And you know, I know it's been a fantastic year for our brokerage as well as for our clients who we've been selling domains for or helping to acquire domains. You know, it's always great to hear and share some of our best success stories and strategies. And I thought you know, having a different spin on the podcast that Brian did today with the integrity piece was awesome. You know, I'm kind of going to turn the tables around a little bit today, too. And I wanted to just chat about my domain investing journey and how it relates to brokering domains now. So yeah, hopefully I don't bore you guys. But so I've been investing in domains for a lot longer than I've been brokering. And, you know, I was doing okay purely as an investor and making a few nice flips here and there. But, you know, really it wasn't until I started brokering domain names that I kind of really began to understand what kind of domains actually sell, you know, understanding the hold time and especially how to price them. So, you know, there's really a lot of aspects to domain investing. And from outside looking in, it seems easy. You know, you buy a domain and you sell it for profit. But, you know, there's just a lot more to it. And it's kind of a science to figure out the best strategy that works for you. You know, and everybody has a different strategy. There's no domain investor that does things exactly the same. And so, you know, early on in my domain investing career, I was buying a lot of domains with no real plan for each one. You know, I wasn't focused on a single niche. I didn't know which names I was going to try and flip or which ones to hold for the long term. I was buying a lot of junk names that I've since dropped. And even way back then, there were a lot of great resources out there to help educate domain investors. You know, but I kind of thought that I knew it all already. I wasn't really looking at that stuff. And it was because I had gotten lucky on a few early investments, and so I was kind of naive. And so I floated along for a few years, and I even ended up taking a couple years break from domains. I was frustrated with my progress, and I kind of got into other things. And it wasn't until I started selling cars and doing auto sales and finance that I really learned some business skills that helped me in my domain business. I realized that I lacked discipline. I finally started figuring out how to manage a portfolio and make smart acquisitions. And ultimately have a game plan for each domain or each type of domain that I was investing in. So when I finally came back to domain names, something kind of sparked in me. I finally quit, binging Netflix and watching TV in my free time. And I really started to dive into all of the educational material that was out there at that time for domain investors. And a lot of these are still current shows and podcasts that are on, things like Domain Sherpa. Domain Name Wire has a great podcast with hundreds of episodes. I started to religiously read domain blogs on domaining.com and consume sales data name bio and looking at DN Journal for high value domain sales and stories. I remember I would read like Elliot's blog, which is now domaininvesting.com, and DSAD. There's just a great wealth of knowledge in the domain industry, awesome people, and a lot of people that really share. Things started to click for me. I was buying better domains, I was making better sales, and starting to host some meetups and started a domain blog. But there were still kind of pieces of the puzzle missing. I wasn't selling my domains consistently enough, and I didn't have the capital to put together a portfolio that I could really make a living from. But it was after my first really substantial domain sale that I felt confident that I was ready to take the leap, and I wanted to make domain names my career path. So I started looking for broker opportunities. And, so fast forward to today, I've been brokering domains here with Grit for, it's been almost 5 years. It's crazy how time flies. It seems like just yesterday, Brian, you and I were working on some of our first deals together and greasing the wheels. I think things are really going well here. And, I'm blessed to be able to make a living doing something that I have a deep passion for. Right now, I'm mainly focused on the brokerage side, and I do invest in domains and passively sell my own domains. And my personal sales have continued to improve year over year. I've been upgrading my portfolio, but getting my hands dirty and working on outbound and proactively selling our clients' domains has given me tons of insight into the domain market and experience in marketing and negotiating these higher value deals. It makes a world of difference for my own personal portfolio and just moving forward as a broker. With that as kind of a backdrop, I thought it would be a good idea to talk about how we evaluate, curate, and price some of our domain inventory. We work with all kinds of different domain owners that hire us to sell their assets. Some of them are domain investors, some are companies that want to raise capital, and some of them are people or families who inherited the domain portfolio that have no idea about domains, pretty much everything in between. Every week we get submitted dozens of domain name portfolios or names people want to have us work on selling. And, thankfully here at Grit Brokerage, we're capable with a research team of brokers, other sales assistants to take on a large variety of domain names in all kinds of price ranges. Where there are other brokerages, most of them, they're only going to be wanting to deal with super high value domains. So we've got a wealth of experience from working on everything from oneword.com, twoword.com, .ai, .io, .org, even blockchain domains. And, working on all these different types of domains and closing, you know, literally hundreds of deals a year for the last few years has given us loads of experience and confidence in appraising domains appropriately. And, you know, it's not to say that we're correct 100% of the time, and it's always in our best interest to get our clients the best sale prices for their domains. But that said, you know, we work on commission only as brokers, so we need to have a decent chance to sell the domains that we choose to work on. And to tying this kind of back to my personal domain investing journey, before I really educated myself and looked at all the data available, I would just go off my kind of my gut feeling on how to price a domain. And you know, the funny thing is that when you buy a domain or when someone buys a domain, you know, you kind of fall in love with it, and it's your baby, you know. So unless you're really looking at the data and you zoom out and you get feedback, you may have unrealistic price expectations as to, you know, what it could sell for, obviously, or how quickly it could sell, or, you know, even if it has a chance to sell. So I thought, you know, it would be helpful to share this with our audience because, you know, we do actually turn down a lot of domain names and portfolios, and we may even not see eye to eye on some domains we're willing to broker with the owners on how to price those domains. So, you know, a lot of domainers' expectations are just simply too high. And you know, as much as we want to help all of these people understand why we're either not taking other domains or the price is too high, you know, we just don't have the time to educate everybody every day about this kind of stuff and then actually do our job of selling the inventory that we do have. So my hopes with this are that this can help some folks understand, you know, where we're coming from, and that, you know, I'd be happy if it just empowers, you know, one person to, you know, that's listening or watching to take a leap and get into all the educational tools that are available to domain owners. You know, I think it's still super early in the grand scheme of things in the domain business. You know, domains have only been around for 30 or 35 years. There's a ton of opportunity in the business for those that are motivated. And, you know, we're here to help whoever we can sell or acquire premium domains. It's what we love to do. And I didn't mention every single resource out there, but I'm going to send Colby a list of my favorite ones, and I'll ask him to drop that in the notes under the video here today. That's all I have for today.
Yeah, and all great insight, Michael. That's one of the things that, you know, is such a great perspective that you bring to what we do is kind of as a domain investor. I know that's not, you know, I buy domains kind of more for business versus investing. And so I love just how, you know, you bring that perspective into the business. And yeah, it's been fun to watch. I know you just got back from the beach with your family, and it's crazy how, I know you were at the beach for a week, but it's like, you know, just when you're trying to take some time off, that's when the deals want to come in. Right. And I know, Marine, you do a great job too, of like, you know, sometimes you get stuck on stuff like, hey, I'm going to the Cape for a few days. And then when you come back, boom, things go. But so, Michael, one of the things I wanted to ask you about as a domain investor, how do you, I mean, is there a certain like allocation that you put towards domains like per month or per quarter, you know, on a quarterly basis? Are you, you know, scrubbing lists daily or weekly, or, you know, how do you kind of set parameters around what you're investing in?
Yep. Good question. And I know, like, you know, a lot of domain investors that make a living only from selling their own domains, most of them are continually growing their portfolio. And, you know, I'm also doing that, but I'm doing it at a slower pace than most investors because, you know, I have the brokerage to work on it and making a living from selling domains for our clients. But yeah, I do daily, you know, look at lists of domains for sale. I like to go through the expired auctions, and I like to go through, you know, some private forums where domains are traded. And as far as like how I allocate, you know, capital, if I make a good domain sale, you know, I want to at least put 25 to maybe 50% of that back into acquiring better domains. I think it's important to always, you know, get feedback on you know, your portfolio, trim your portfolio, you know, let go of names that have never had offers or interest for maybe 2 or 3 years, and figure out just, you know, sometimes you just got to cut them loose. And like I said, it's hard because at the time you bought it, you know, it was your idea, it was your baby, it was, you know, something you had confidence in. And so doing that is actually difficult too. But yeah, so, you know, I'm always looking at good investments for domains, while, you know, of course, brokering as well.
And one thing I want to ask to follow that up, Michael, is, you know, it's not something you would see in a Kevin O'Leary video or a Dave Ramsey video of, hey, what are you doing this month to buy domains, or what percentage are you putting towards domain investing? So what I wanted to ask you is, for someone who's listening to this that's never thought about buying a domain, what you mentioned some other platforms, but is there any way that someone can deep dive in without the 10,000 hours of understanding the domain industry and actually make a reasonable decision in trying to get into domain investing?
Yeah, it's tough. I mean, to do it right and to really have a full understanding, you kind of got to put in you know, a lot of time into learning. I think it's important for people to, and most people don't do it. You do it the opposite way. Even the most successful investors today, they'll tell you they did this. Same thing was, you buy a bunch of domains, you don't know what you're doing, and then you look at your portfolio, it's not selling, and then you're like, oh, I need help, I need to educate myself. And then you go and look, and you look into the, you know, all the different educational resources. So my thoughts would be, research and teach yourself before you start buying. And I know that doesn't hardly ever happen, but if you're brand new and you haven't started buying domains but you're interested in it, I think that's a big thing. And probably the fastest and best way to get up to speed would be Domain Academy. Michael Seiger put this course together several years ago. It's now managed by GoDaddy. But that is it's a course that is just packed, and it's packed with knowledge, and it's laid out in courses, so you can quiz yourself on each different section. And if you pass that, you're going to have a really good understanding of the domain business, investing, and it may only take you a week or two to get through it if you're really motivated and you're spending a lot of time on it.
Yeah, one thing I wanted to add to that too, Michael, it's, I think a lot of people come into the domain industry and they almost treat it like the lottery, right? So we get, you know, like Michael mentioned, we get, I mean, hundreds and hundreds, if not thousands, of domains a week that people want us to review and look at. And sometimes even just a quick who is search, I see, okay, you bought this yesterday and you want $10,000 for it, right? Like, they're kind of seeing it as like a lottery ticket. Hey, this is, and I'm like, hey, you know, I don't have time to go through all the logistics of it, but in 40 years, nobody in the entire world even wanted to pay $10 for it. Why do you think that all of a sudden want to pay 100x that number, right? So I think a lot of people think of it as like a lottery ticket. However, if you approach this business the right way, this is the closest thing we have in existence right now, in my opinion, to a gold rush, right? Where, you know, these domains are incredibly valuable, right? But at the same time, you have to have the right tools to do that. And I feel like, you know, as brokers, we help people, bring people to the right spot of the river. Hey, this is where you're going to find some, and provide the right tools of, like, you know, the sifters that you got to put the sand and the and everything through, and figuring out all the nuances, and figuring out, okay, once you have that piece of gold, who's going to then turn around and buy it? And so I think if you approach the business the right way, of course, it's not something that comes overnight. Nothing easy ever does. But, you know, there's so many tools out there now where you can get up to speed and become an expert very quickly with domains. And especially if you own a company and you understand the value of domain names, you really have a huge advantage. I mean, we talk about this all the time where, you know, these guys have a big exit from a company, and the first thing they do is they go out and buy a premium domain name because they know how much of a leg up that's going to give them with their new business and how much easier everything gets with a premium domain. You okay, Maureen? I know you've been feeling under the weather. But yeah, so all great insights on domain investing, Michael.
Yes, thank you, Michael. Michael, anything else you guys would like to close out with today, Brian?
No, yeah, like I said, it's been a great year, and just thankful for our team and for our clients. Look forward to 2024.
Closing out here today, Maureen, anything else you would like to say or add? I know you're a little bit caught up right now, but.
Yeah, no, just Happy New Year, Merry Christmas, all that.
Back to you as well. Well, it's been a pleasure to see you both again. It's always fun to do these episodes. I love them because it's someone that, even though all the time I spend with Brian, it's having three of you in front of me to talk about the domain industry. It's always insightful and something that I'm still shocked as someone who's so interconnected with the rest of the world and social media and all this stuff. It's shockingly quiet in the marketplace, to say the least. Like when I mentioned Dave Ramsey and these other guys that, you know, want to give all this advice and tell people where to go, there's just not a lot of people talking about going to this market. So I always love these conversations. I'm super excited to see what continues to happen in a big 2024. So Michael, Maureen, Happy New Year's, Merry Christmas. Great to see you as always. If anyone watching or listening wants to get in touch with Grit Brokerage for any of your domain needs, you can visit gritbrokerage.com to get in touch with the team, and they will fulfill all your needs you have there. That's a wrap for us here today at the grit.org podcast. Be sure to share this episode with someone you think it would resonate with or impact. Spread the words about the opportunities of domains. We appreciate you tuning in. We'll see you next time. That's a wrap for the grit.org podcast.